This week on 10K Saturday, we have actor, teacher, husband, dad, and 10K Dollar Bay, Mike Torek. He and Lulu talk about what happens when you get a wish, and listen in and hear Mike explain why playing the tough guy isn't so bad.
And now, it's 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another 10K Saturday. I'm super excited because today, I am sitting down with a great friend of mine. We've been talking about getting him on the podcast forever. It is Mike Torek. Mike, say hi.
Hello. How are you?
You sound so friendly in your hello.
Oh, I have the biggest smile on my face right now. I can't begin to tell you because I'm so excited to be here.
I know. Well, it's great because Mike listens to the podcast and he listens to even the Wednesdays, the main one. So if you're here for one of our main luxury travel comedy podcasts, those come out on Wednesdays. We also have the dailies coming out right now. This is the 10K Saturday. Should we have a different feed? Probably, but we just don't. And Mike has been talking about, like, we've been trying to get you on here forever, and I was very adamant that we had to be in the same place at the same time, which was definitely our rule until COVID. And all of a sudden, we were like, wait, we got to figure this out. And I said, now we can get Mike on. And I'm so glad you're here.
Me too. Well, and we, you know, we can thank the DC Universe for that. So
why the DC Universe?
Well, you know, it all started from that photo I took in my closet when I was doing some ADR work. So I get, you know, I should back up. You asked me if I had anything to plug at the top of the thing, and I don't officially because of NDA reasons, but I was fortunate enough to head down to Atlanta right before Hollywood shut down and do a nice little role on a DC Universe show, and they needed some ADR work done, and I couldn't travel to any sort of recording studio, so we just figured out how to do it here in my closet. And
wow.
I was talking to the sound editor in LA, and she said, well, do you have this, and do you have this, and do you have this? And I was like, oh my gosh, I have all of that. And so we set up a little FaceTime meeting on my computer, and she talked me through it and played all the cues, and I recorded them onto a hard drive and just emailed them to her, and that was it. So
Wow. Thank
you, DC Universe, for bringing us together finally.
First of all, that is some ingenuity. That's really cool.
It was really cool. I was really kind of impressed because having done other ADR sessions in the past where you're just in a big sound studio and you're watching yourself on a big movie screen, which can be a little intimidating at times, this was great because it was just me and a person I'd never met. And all I had to do was just sort of record these lines over and over again. And they must have liked them because they never sent back a re-record or notes. So it worked out.
Let's back up just a tad because we do have some listeners who don't come from entertainment. So
oh,
I just want to break down a little bit what ADR is, which is post-production dubbing almost, right? Is that a good way to say
That's it exactly is? What it is, but sadly I can never tell you what ADR stands for. It stands for audio dubbing replacement or audio, yes.
Audio I don't know dubbing. What it stands for either.
It stands for, but basically it is when some sort of anomaly, wind or sound or microphone failure doesn't quite get the lines recorded in the way they want them to record it to support the video, they bring you back in once the movie or television show is in what they call picture lock and no longer being edited. And you watch yourself on the screen and you match your dialogue and your lip movement to what is happening on the screen. So it's exactly what they do in all those great sort of kung fu movies. When you watch a kung fu movie that's been dubbed in English, that's sort of basically ADRing an entire film.
Oh, you know, I love a kung fu movie.
Me too.
First of all, you are on a lot of my friends' TV screens right now through the pandemic. So I do want to give a little shout out because Ozark is big right now. I know that you're not in the current season, but everyone, I recommend that you start Ozark season one, and you were still in season two, right?
I have a nice opening presence in season two, yes.
There you go. So season one and season two, everyone, why don't you just stream that, and Mike will see a penny of a penny of a penny from every single listener.
Absolutely.
Dollar day.
0.1% for every time you hit click. I can continue to feed my children.
Exactly. And Mike and I met doing a production of South Pacific in North Carolina, and instant friends.
Yes.
Instant friends. And even the next year I had Thanksgiving with your family.
Which was
so
amazing.
Special. And last year was the first time in 3 years that I was not in North Carolina for the holidays. And I really missed all of you because you had become my holiday people, which I got really sentimental about right around Thanksgiving and Christmas, just because it was odd because for the last 3 years before that, I had spent Thanksgiving in North Carolina. Like, it's a very sentimental period of time. You know, for someone who loves Christmas like me. So
yes.
it was a little jarring to not be around that group of people.
Well, you know, we definitely missed you, I will say. And of course we had it, right? So it was nice to see all of the old hats. But Thanksgiving has always been a tradition for us where it's, as much as the holidays are always about family, it's about the non-traditional family. Mm-hmm. And it was a tradition we actually brought with us when my wife and I lived in New York for several years, and poor starving actors can't afford to travel home for both Thanksgiving and Christmas. So Thanksgiving became what was called a Misfits Thanksgiving, and it rotated from apartment to apartment every year, and whoever had the host apartment was responsible for the turkey, and everybody else was responsible for bringing some sort of side dish that was very sentimental to them and their family during the holidays. And it was amazing. And so when we moved to North Carolina, we started to meet and make our sort of village and community of people down here. And we realized that there was an opportunity to still sort of carry on that tradition. So we did. We did. I'll remember the first few years when I was bartending at a local bar. I would take Thanksgiving off, but then go to the bar and take dinner to the bartenders that were working. When they would get off shift, they would come over, and it sort of then turned into, hey, all of you out-of-town actors, just come spend time at our house and break bread with our family, and we absolutely love it. So we are sad that you weren't here, but you're always welcome.
I know. You know what? I know. It's such a cool thing to be confident about. I know that I could just knock on your door and be like, yeah, I'm here now.
And it wouldn't surprise us at all, and we would hope that you would show up. So,
thanks, dude.
You're welcome.
That's real cool. Yeah. Thanksgiving is going to be really great this year, and there will be some families it's really hard for as well, because we are losing a significant portion of our population right now. But it's also going to be great to just be with people. I'm really craving that right now.
Yes.
I know that you're home with your family, which is great, but you also teach. So what is it like being a college professor right now?
It was an interesting transition to go from face-to-face learning to online learning, basically in the matter of a week. Some schools extended their spring break for a week so that we could get our classes in order. Other schools shut down for a week so that we could get our classes in order. I've had an interesting experience through it because I don't teach just at one university. As a professional adjunct, a professional actor, I adjunct at several different universities around the area. So I had several different policies to sort of have to navigate and sift through. But it's actually, I've been pretty impressed with the sort of the students' resolve and resilience in sort of adapting to this. And I've actually been impressed with my own ability to sort of think of different creative ways to take an online or a face-to-face class and move it to an online sort of platform. The studio classes where I actually teach acting and like acting for the camera have been a bit of a challenge, but luckily for us, there's enough technology and Zoom and webcams and things of that nature that it's allowed us to be sort of virtually face-to-face when we need to. And other than that, it's just been trying to create some really interesting ways to keep them active and engaged and sort of critically thinking about what it is that they do as artists.
Well, it's a tough environment to teach an art form that is based on shared experience through screens. And I don't think it's impossible. It's just different.
Yes, I agree. And different is the key word. One of the things that I really respected about one of the institutions, one of the universities that I work for, was that they were all sort of in a panic and all sort of up in arms about, we're not really sure how to do this. And so it came from the top down, right? Really good leadership is always key in any sort of crisis or situation, right? Where they said, look, this is triage. This is, we're being forced into this. None of us really know how to do this or we're comfortable doing this, especially given what we teach on a daily basis. So just figure out the nuts and bolts, put a Band-Aid on it, and continue to move forward. And so it was as much about your own self-care as it was about making sure your students were cared for as well. Because Lord knows, some of the sleepless nights I had trying to figure out, well, what am I going to teach tomorrow, were put at ease a little bit by knowing that I'm not the only one out there having to do this. Right. And then the amount of support that came out of the woodwork community wise, I mean, there's Facebook groups and there's chat rooms and there's blogs and all of these teachers and these educators sharing these different ways to keep your classrooms engaged and involved, was quite amazing to see and be a part of. So
that's cool. Do you have a favorite trick or something that you came up with that you're really proud of that is directly related to online teaching?
Well, there's a great website, and I don't, if we can plug it, great. If not, you can edit it out,
no, but
there's
let's
a great
talk about
website
it, yeah.
out there called Screenplayed. Do you know this website? Screenplayed.com.
No. Okay.
Oh, it's fantastic. And it takes these really popular movies, and they take cuttings of the screenplay and they scroll through them while they play the movie over it.
That's cool.
So you can follow along with the written word and then see what the artistic sort of visual creation was that came out of that. And they are oftentimes ridiculously different. And so for a couple of weeks, we just played on that website and we went down the rabbit hole of playing on that website. And we were able to sort of apply analytically and theoretically all the things that we had worked on and learned in class to sort of see other people doing it in practice. And also to see how drastically visuals can change based on just an art director's vision, right? Or a director's vision or an editor's vision. And so I think that was really helpful for the students to sort of look at and go, oh, okay. So all I have to worry about as the actor are the words on the page and my relationship with the other person and making sure that I'm living truthfully in this circumstance. And then everything else is just put in around me.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest adjustment that I had to make when I first started working in TV and film, because so much of it is out of your control. And I fought that for a really long time. And then once you just decide to give it up, it really kind of puts you at peace with the process. Because in theater, you control your whole performance, right? Like from A to B. And you also go through the show chronologically,
right,
which is also a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
But in film and TV, there's an editor, there's underscoring. I did this movie once and I didn't know it was a comedy, Mike, until I saw, I'm not lying, until I saw the finished product, I literally thought it was like a shoot 'em up gang thriller with a little bit of comedy. And then I saw the preview, the trailer, and I was like, oh, this is slapstick. I played my scene wrong.
Oh, no.
Nobody ever said anything, and they edited it fine, but it was just so funny. I was like, oh, it's a comedy. I didn't know because it didn't read like that on the page.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
It was edited to be a comedy, you know?
Well, and it's very possible that came down in the edit as well,
yeah.
Right? I mean, edit will make or break a film. Edit will make or break an actor's career. Edit can change the tempo and the rhythm and the situation. You know, of a circumstance. One of my favorite YouTube clips that I show my students all the time is, if you haven't ever watched it, is go on and they remove the laugh track from the show Friends.
Okay.
And it becomes the most god-awful thing in the world to watch. I hope I can say that and I don't offend any of your listeners. But then they add a laugh track to the scene in The Shining where Jack Nicholson is chasing Shelley Duvall through the hotel, and he goes at the door with the axe, right? And peers through the crack in the door and says, here's Johnny. That really iconic scene from The Shining where you're just scared, you know, out of your wits. And they add a laugh track to that, and it's entirely different. Right. So even the simple addition and subtraction of a laugh track or music can change the entire makeup of a film or a television show. Mm-hmm. But I think that's key, right? And that's kind of what I try to teach my students is just live in the moment with the person you're supposed to be interested in or that you need something from, and they will fill in everything else that they need to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't tell you how many times on set when I've had a close-up or I've just had a reaction shot to something and I'm supposed to be like really angry or really mean, and I think that I need to sort of present that or play that towards the camera, and the directors come up and go, dude, have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror? You just look like you're a mean guy. So yes. just stand there and don't do anything. We'll do the rest.
I can't.
We'll do the rest. And I'm like, okay. And I will. I'll just stand there and I'll think about my kids. Even think about my kids, right? The happiest thing in the world. I'll just stand there. And then the way they move the camera and the way they light it and the way they add the music, the next thing you know, you're looking at me like, oh my God, he is going to destroy Jason Bateman. I'll be like, yes, I am. Because that's what they paid me to do. So
it's so funny because you are such a light person. And in all everything I've seen you on film and TV has been you. You're right. You're mean. Is that weird for you? Like,
I'm the bad guy. No, I'll take it. It's my bread and butter. I mean, I'll take it. I truly believe in my heart of hearts that those sort of lovable dad characters will come when the universe decides that they need to come. But for the time being, I will continue to play the muscle, the heavy, the drug dealer thug, because it pays the bills. So.
Oh, I get it. All right. You want to move on to these questions, these 10K questions?
Yes and no, but yes.
Oh, well, too bad.
No, I do. Absolutely. You can cut that out. Yes, I do. You want to ask me that again?
Leaving it in, you contrary man. Okay. So we're going to move on to our 10K five. And I'm so excited to hear your answers to these. So Mike Torek, what is your obsession today?
Oh, my obsession. I thought you were going to go with happy first, but I like it. My obsession.
No, happy's last. You know today. Happy's last.
Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe I haven't listened to the show in a while. I'm sorry.
It's okay. What's your obsession?
My obsession today is, and I never know how to say his name correctly, and so I'm going to try it. So forgive me if this is wrong. But my obsession today is Hrishikesh Hirway.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Hrishikesh Hirway is a podcaster. And he created with the actor Joshua Malina this podcast called The West Wing Weekly.
Oh.
Yes. And so I hope it's okay that I'm talking about another podcast on your podcast. But
yes. Yes. That, you can talk about whatever you want. Yes.
That is my obsession today. Would have to be. But he's also created these other amazing podcasts. One of them, which is called Partners. Mm-hmm. And it's just. It's almost like a domino effect of obsession, because one thing leads to another and then it just opens this rabbit hole of things that I want to continue to go look at and research. And
what's the topic of Partners?
Partners. So he takes two people that are partners in life and he interviews them and you listen to their stories. So, the creators of Instagram are on there. The writer and illustrator of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, Davi Diggs, and his writing partner is on there. It's just, it's sort of a relationship, and it's a relationship about the beginnings of things and sort of two people working together and sort of the love and hate that comes with that. And, it's really quite interesting to hear their stories.
I mean, I don't know why they haven't interviewed Allison and me yet.
Well, I was thinking the same thing today, actually, as I was, you know, listening to my, I really was, honestly, because I went for a walk. So, I mean, but again, all of these obsessions, right? So I really shouldn't, we should maybe start over, because I'm also obsessed with my house.
Because, oh, I love your house.
You know, well, but because I'm in my house now 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I'm walking around and seeing all the little things that I need to fix or tweak or invest money in, right?
Yeah.
So it's become, well, I don't have a lot of money coming in, so I can't spend all this money, but I really want to fix this and I want to do that. But I was walking this morning because I've adopted a new philosophy in life called do the things that you want to do, coupled with the things that you know you need to do.
I mean, that's brilliant.
And that's motivated me to go for more walks, right? So I want to listen to these podcasts, but the only way I allow myself to listen to these podcasts is by going outside for a walk. So that to be said, when I was walking this morning, listening to this podcast, I honestly had the vision of like you and Allison being on this podcast, that you should be partners on this podcast. So maybe I'll email them and say, hey, here's some partners for you to listen to.
Yeah, man. We're ready. Let's do it. They'll be like, these girls didn't have a plan. They'll be like, what was your plan? We'll say, we didn't have one.
Right?
And look where we are.
It all started in an apartment
in
New York City.
It sure did. On the D train, actually. On the D train is where it started. I like those obsessions.
Well, that question was, that answer was terrible.
It was great. I got your house. I got the podcast, which I'm definitely going to listen to because I'm super excited about that. And I need to listen to West Wing Daily, but I want to pair it with a rewatch, which is a significant time commitment.
Oh, it's fantastic. When you pair it with a rewatch, it's absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. I need to pair it with a rewatch. So next question. What is on your wish list right now?
You know, I have to tell you, since I've always dreamed about being on this podcast, I won't lie, I've thought about my answers to these questions. And then today when I knew I was going to actually do it, I panicked and thought none of them were good enough or that they change. Like they change all the time, right? Which is what I think is really brilliant about these questions is that they're meant to change and even be as little as, I love my pajama pants that I'm wearing right now. But and I am wearing pajama pants right now. But for the longest time, my wish always was, I wish I had the time to do the things I wish I wanted to do.
Oh,
does that make right? Does that make, you know how we're all we would always say, God, I just don't have enough time to go to the gym, or I don't have enough time to learn this, or I don't have enough time to learn that. And I got to tell you, well, now I've got that time. And that wish kind of scares me because all of a sudden that wish has come true. So I find myself now getting to live out this wish in the sense that I get to have more time with my kids and I get to have time to go for walks and I get to have time to work out. So I don't know what my wish is anymore.
Yeah,
does that make sense? I mean, you know, I wish this pandemic would end, but at the same time, I kind of like having all this time to be with my family.
Well, and you're in a really lucky space because your work translated to being at home. Not in a perfect way and definitely in a difficult way, but you were able to take your work home.
Yes. So fortunate and so blessed for that.
Yeah. So. But that's great because now you kind of get the best of both worlds. And I do. Yeah. Soak it up, man. That's awesome. It's great. And don't stress yourself out about, you probably made this mental list at some point, right? Like, oh, I wish I had more time to do A through Z.
Right.
And I think that's something that I'm seeing a lot now is people going, oh, now I have to do all of the household things. I have to write the great American novel. I have to put all this stuff out. I've got to write Christmas cards to everybody that I've missed for the last 5 years. Like, there's just this running list that no one ever thought they were ever going to have to tackle, and they kind of put it aside in that box on a shelf that was called when I have time.
Right.
And now we have time and people are getting overwhelmed, and if it makes you feel better to be creative and be productive, then do it. And if not, just do puzzles.
Nope. And I agree, and that's kind of what it's come to, is that this time has been given to me, and so we take it for what it is and do the best that we can with it. And don't beat yourself up if you don't write that great American novel. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. I like that your answer was, I don't know because I think I'm in it.
Yeah,
because
I'm living in it right now. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you got what you wished for.
Well, thanks. Me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, now that you are living in a pandemic, if you had an extra $10,000, what would you do with it?
But wait, now is this the charity thing or where would I go?
No, this is what you would do, not for charity, with $10,000. No rules.
No rules. If it's right now and the pandemic is a forced guideline, then I would put a screened-in porch on the back of my house.
Oh. Yeah, you've got a nice
deck.
Yeah, because
you've seen that deck, right?
House.
We've got a huge sort of two-tiered large, large deck. And there is the top tier is a 10 by 10 section that comes off of the back door. And we have always wanted to sort of frame and screen that in so we can have almost a year round outdoor, quote unquote, sitting place for our family with like a ceiling fan and some lights and just a place to go eat dinner and things of that nature. So that's what I would do if construction companies were allowed to come to my house and build.
Well, you did say that that's what you would do if the pandemic was a guiding force. So if we were, would you have a different answer if we weren't in pandemic?
Well, it's always been, as cliche as it sounds, if it was to travel somewhere, I would go to New York. I know that that's, I mean, I lived in New York for 10 years and struggled as an actor and couldn't afford to do anything. And so if I had 10 grand, I would go to New York City and I would do it up, man. I would shop. I'd make sure I went on a Wednesday so I could see two shows. I would stay in like the fanciest hotel that I could stay in. I would go eat at all the places. I would rent a car for the day. Like I would want to have like the ultimate tourist experience in New York City.
I can see you in New York. You've got a little New York in you. You have a lot of New York.
Oh, I miss it every day. I mean, I loved living there. When I lived there, it was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my entire life. And I wouldn't, you know, no, that's not true. I would wish it on anyone because I think you have to experience it at some point. And I would go back in a heartbeat if circumstances would allow. But I love my family and I love my life. But I do, man, I miss that city and that grind.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Well.
So
I have 100% faith that that grind and hustle will come back.
Oh, it will.
Okay, if you had $10,000 to give away, where would you do it?
See, and that's a hard one too, because there's so many, right? So many people are in need right now that I would like, how do you decide who to give that $10,000 to? And so I had several that I looked up today that I was going to talk about and look at. And so I'm just going to pick, one, but it's a general sort of thing. And I would figure out some way to share that money with the food and beverage industry and the hospitality industry.
That's good.
And all of those people that are just ridiculously out of work, because I was one of those people for the longest time until I was fortunate enough to sort of shift my focus and get my graduate degree so I could start teaching. And I didn't see any sort of specific charity that you could go to, but I saw several websites that were offering different ways to donate money. Mm-hmm. And the one that I sort of connected to the most was called plateonline.com. There's the culinary magazine called Plate. I don't know if you know it or not.
I don't.
And they just had a ton of resources on the James Beard Foundation had, a link that you could donate to. There was a one-time apply for just a $500 check if you were a hospitality worker. So all of these different sort of grants and funds that hospitality workers could go to and sort of apply for some sort of relief to help them out. And so I think that's where I would give it if I could, to my fellow bartenders and servers and chefs and busboys and hosts. And
there's such good food in Greensboro. And I think a lot of people, you know, we do talk a lot about the arts and how obviously all the gigs have gone away. But also a lot of our friends who are artists, their side gig or their main gig is working in the restaurant and bar industry. And so there's so many places that are having to close and don't have the funds. And it's really stressful.
Yes,
for a lot of people.
It is. And a lot of them are doing what they can, sort of, you know, still allowing for takeout orders. And, you know, you call in and they take your order and then you pull up and then you call them back and they bring you your food. Like you're not even allowed in the restaurant. But there's, you know, there's such an importance of community when it comes to the local restaurants, which is one of the things I loved about working in the local restaurants that I worked at here in Greensboro, that having that to be sort of ripped away from you, it's a hard transition. And so that's, and of course, I think about all my friends that I still have and still communicate with today, where we all bartended and worked together, that are still in that business. And I have no, other than collecting unemployment, I have no idea what they're doing right now. So if I could help them out, I would.
It is now time for the last question, which you wanted to be the first question. So, Mike Torek, what is your happy today?
Well, you know, as given the current situation in the pandemic, and as cliche as this may sound to some, it's my family. It's having this time with my family. And I, you know, I spent the last couple of days trying to think about what makes me happy, what makes me happy. And at the end of the day, that really is it. And what I think I find most enjoyable about it is not only does it make me happy, but in speaking to my friends in this community that also have kids, it's hearing the same stories, right? It's just hearing all of my friends say how they're enjoying the time that they're spending with their family. That, mm-hmm. And you would think that the opposite would happen, or maybe you wouldn't, I don't know. But the fact that we're sort of stuck in the same house 24/7 for the last, how many weeks have we been doing this now? They're all starting to bleed together, that we're not really tired of each other, right? And don't get me wrong, every day presents its troubles. And I have a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old, and there are days when they are just going to try your patience. And those days are okay, but we have all this time together, which we haven't ever really normally had. And so the fact that I get to be a part of their schoolwork every day, and the fact that I can see them grow and get excited about these things and want to do this project and go for walks with me when we go for walks, it's unlike anything I think we'll ever get back, right? I never had it growing up as a kid. And so I'm really trying to embrace it for as much as I can. And it makes me happy to be with my family every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They're lucky to have you.
Well, I'm lucky to have them because they keep me sane for the most part. So.
I'm so happy that you did this and we figured it out. And
oh, me too.
It took the pandemic for us to kind of bite the bullet about having people on that we weren't in the same room with. I was really stuck on it. I had made it this rule, and I do still think it's obviously plan A, but I'm really excited that we got you on because
I can't tell you how honored I am that you would have me. Because you know it was one that you did with our mutual friend Will Branner. I listened to that, and then that launched me into the podcast. And then I just went down the rabbit hole from there because I got to tell you, I think that what you guys are doing is amazing and above and beyond. I just listened to a daily today and the charitable work that you do. It's just, I mean, I'm so happy for you and so thankful that I get to be a part of it. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks, dude. All right. I love you.
I love you too.
I think you're awesome. I can't wait to see you on more screens and also on my FaceTime screen at some point because that's going to happen. And also, everyone, if you see Mike Torek's face come across as a villain, just know he's actually a super nice guy. I think that's important for
Thanks.
You to know. Mike, can they follow you anywhere?
They can. Instagram is just at Michael Torek.
Great. And we'll have the link in our landing page. That'll be on our website at 10kdollarday.com. Don't worry, it's super easy to find. And don't forget, we also have like 400 other types of episodes that drop. So if you want more of us, we're definitely able to be found. For now, thanks everyone for being here, for joining us for another 10K Saturday. We are keeping you close during social distancing for sure. And we love you all. Thanks, Mike. Say bye.
Bye.
That was 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu. And don't forget, with friends like us, who needs amenities?